That's right, fans of AFL Fantasy Football. It's time for the People's Prince, the father of fantasy, and everybody's favorite humble genius, Jock Riddles. Over to you, Jock.
Bloody cheap rubbish.
Hello, Jock.
Jock, g'day, Hig. Crouch, how are you, Sean?
Jock, what's wrong with this funny contraption?
Nah, it's cheap bloody rubbish. Got to make a bloody lawn.
Yes.
Here's a spark plug, so she's stuffed.
Fine piece of engineering. Jock, we are here because we have heard you are harbouring Mr. John Bruin, last year's winner of Supercoach in the bungalow. Is that true?
Yeah, and he's studying, and I'm doing me lawn. You blokes need to leave him alone. He's up to hard bloody work.
We won't talk him. We won't talk him. We won't fix our team. You say me this.
Yeah, I don't know, boys. I just want to leave him alone. I know he wants to have a crack at 2014.
Jock, for the sake of the community, we need to talk. Get him out here.
All right, hey, come on. Let's go. Come on, boys.
Mr. John.
Get back, you mongrel. Get out of me.
Mr. John.
Get off me bloody leg.
Mr. John, you there, please?
Hey, John, are you there, mate?
Yeah, g'day, Crouch. G'day, Jock. How you going?
Mate, don't want to disturb you. We'd love to have a few questions with you about the recent article you put up on the website. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course, guys. Always got some time for you, Mob.
Grandmaster John, welcome, welcome. How much you bench press?
Oh, crouching goes up every day. It's hard to keep track.
Oh, I bench press 6 girl. How many girl you press?
Oh, 6 is getting up there. I don't know if I've ever tried 6, but you never know. Never say never.
Interesting you ask that, crouching. On a personal note, John, did your fame bring with it an influx of female attention, mate?
Of course it bloody did.
Oh, here you go. I wish it brought a little more. I think the females aren't yet onto the super coach. It's more the young men, sadly.
You'd be surprised the amount of knocks we get on the door and little bloody notes in the mailbox here at the front, Johnny. Just you wait, son. Quick question, mate. We have commissioned the big bronze statue of yourself just out front of the Jock Reynolds Community Hall. Do you think it captures yourself and your supercoach genius in the essence that we needed to capture it in, mate?
Oh, look, I think you guys have sculpted it well, seeing yourself in shiny bronze, shining in the sun's something new.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'll get used to that.
Oh, okay, mister. Let's get down to business, Grandmaster John.
Bloody oath, let's do it.
Okay, last year, bloody Zorko, he burned man. He even burned bloody you. You think Zorko still burned man? You say me this.
Yeah, I've noticed a few people keeping their eye on him. I don't think he's in my initial team, put it that way. That could be partially the result of how he treated me last year. I'm just not sure exactly what role he'll end up playing with Justin Lepich moving up to the line. So there's every chance I'll move him a bit more into the mids, but I think it's just as likely he'll spend a bit of time hovering around the forward line, so I'm not sure if he's going to make my squad at this point.
Last year I felt with his advanced years that he would escape the second year blues. I can't help but think that the second year blues did affect Zorko. Look, he did attract some extra attention. I feel he might have learnt a bit. I'll be considering him, mate, but it's Ticky Touchwood. I'm not sure as well.
Yeah, look, I think there's every chance he could be a good pick, but I'm not convinced just at this stage.
Excellent, excellent, John. Now, referring to your brilliant article, the 5 golden team selection rules. You started off mentioning the importance of having a plan. This year, changing rookie price structure, less available rookies. Do you have an initial plan in mind?
Yeah, at this stage, it's starting to come together, I think. And interestingly enough, the defense seems to be where a lot of people are focused. But at this point, taking a bit of a different angle, I actually think the defense is still the place to try and save a bit of money.
Okay.
I don't think I'll be loading up in the defense in a lot of the same way that many people are seemingly talking about at the minute. I know there's a lot of good options in it, but I think I'll be looking to try and pick them up cheaper rather than starting with a lot of them around that 600k mark.
I know last year we were able to pump our defence full of rookies, which was fantastic, and we could generate a lot of cash. And in the past, I've been reluctant to fill my midfield with rookies. Because this year we have those players like your Bartels, like your Mitchells down back that can generate midfield-type output, I'm actually entertaining a couple more rookies possibly in the midfield this year.
Interesting, Jock. Long-winded, verbose, rambling question.
Oh, he'd give me a spell, would you? Jock, we're talking with the inner sanctum here, mate. We can't just talk about bloody sherbet bombs and bloody...
Precisely. That's why we need to get to the point. John of Walker, Mitchell, Bartell, McVeigh, which of these would you consider?
Well, I consider them all. Mitchell's probably the bloke that's risen to the top, despite what I wrote recently. I think he's the guy out of those that I'll be starting with.
Good.
Notwithstanding the fact that McVeigh plays his first game against GWS, and I think it's always nice to start off with a bang, and he could well do on that game.
Excellent point. Moving to the middle, Gary Ablett. There has been some talk about starting without Gary Ablett. Your second golden rule indicates we must pick Gary Ablett. Doing the calculations, one could have Gary and a rookie or the likes of two keepers in Mark Murphy and a Beams, perhaps. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a valid point. And if it was to come off, hats off to those who don't start with him. But I can tell you this, I certainly will be. And I think there's a little bit of overcomplicating the situation by trying to convince yourself that somehow he's over the hill. He's still the best player, and there's a reason for that.
You pick bloody Ablett. He kick ass. Welcome.
Look, John Crouch, as we stand just outside the bungalow as you're doing your research, God, it's clear to me why you're one of our favourite sons, son. And as we always say, pick bloody Gary Ablett Jr. Amazes me how many times this little bloke gets written off. Time and time again, he leaves Geelong. Everyone says, nah, get stuffed. You know, he isn't with Bartell. Pick bloody Gary Ablett Jr.
Jock, hey? I am still considering not picking him. And as John himself alluded to in his fine article, you need to make a move that puts you at a distinct point of difference to the rest of the lemmings.
But what are you doing when he cranks you at 180 points, Jock, 12 weeks in a bloody row? Talking about your bloody lemmings.
He has bloody Ryan Crowley in round two. Could you not bring him in with your first rookie downgrade?
Yeah, righto, Hig. Point taken.
The next point, John, is the use of dual position players. And your starting squad last year, in its brilliance, started with many defender swingers into the middle and forward swingers into the middle. Will you be looking to run with a similar structure this year?
Definitely. I think I'll be starting as many of those defensive mids and forward mids that fall into the mix as I can. I don't think it's too important linking them up to start off with. You know who's playing in the early rounds, so you don't need the bench cover in the same way. But when you do pick your side and you have a couple of those cheap guys on the bench early on, I think plan to have one or two hang around a little longer, and you can trade them into the mids to try and open up those links, which is sort of along the same lines I did last year, and I'm sure many others did as well. So not so much starting off them in the mids, pick the guys who get the most points there, but look to bring guys from the other lines into the mids as the season goes on, I think is the way to go.
I love what you said in your article, John. Don't pick your initial team worrying too much about DPPs. I think that's important because I think too many young fantasy footballers look to make those swing sets. They think, righto, I've got some mid-forwards up forward. I need some mid-forwards in the guts. Not the case. Don't concentrate too much on your dual position players in your initial team, but you're saying look out for them as the season progresses.
That's it. Don't waste a midfield spot sticking, you know, a Taylor or a McDonald in the mids to start the season off. They're hard enough finding playing rookies on the forward and defence lines as it is, so make sure you keep them down back and stick one of the rookies that looks the goods in the middle that doesn't have the DPP and make him the first bloke you downgrade.
Absolutely.
Excellent, John. Now, we had a healthy debate, as we often do, in our last podcast regarding planning for buys. Can you please enlighten the community, educate those buffoon Reynolds types as to your planning towards this year's buy?
Look, when we say arguing, John, it's usually some bloody logic coming from the Reynolds family and fluff coming from Hig and Crouch. And you've been bloody quiet, Crouch. You right today?
I am in respect of this great man.
Where's respect for me?
I salute his inner warrior.
Yes.
I now imagine what he like with no shirt on. I think he have veiny muscle poppy everywhere. Oh, big sweat ball in trouser.
Yeah.
What you say me this, Mr. John? What type of boat you buy with your 50,000?
Yeah, no boat crouching. I've got it tucked away for a rainy day and a few grand plans on the horizon. We'll see if we can go back to back and make something more of it, eh?
Oh, welcome. He not need boat to get bloody crumpet.
Doesn't surprise me either.
Back to buy trading, gentlemen. Eyes on the goal here. Thank you, John.
Yeah, look, I think I'll follow a similar strategy to last year. I didn't concern myself too much with the buys, apart from just making sure I was in a position to be able to trade into them so that I could structure myself up well leading up to it. Again, you know, you don't want to sacrifice picking the guys you think are going to score highly at the start or the rookies who are going to score really well and then you want to downgrade. So I would say stock up with the good rookies. Make sure you're not too overloaded, but you've got so much chance to change your side before then that I'd still stick to the players that you want.
I thought it was great in the introduction to your article. You briefly mentioned that where the rookies are available really influences our ending team structure. Isn't that a good point?
Yeah, 100%. It defines almost really how everyone goes into the season, doesn't it? And
yeah.
I think this year's particularly interesting with the price change because we're not going to be able to pick even half of the ones we probably want to, especially in the midfielders. So I think that's going to be a really defining factor and probably something people should think about when they want to do their early correction trades because you just don't want to be stuck with the wrong rookies this year. I think it's going to be game over if you are.
Yes.
Very much in agreement there, John. This brings us to the next point, the all-important point. Will the price change make you consider any fallen premiums or mid-price selections? Bearing in mind last year, your selection of Cloak was sheer brilliance. However, Kaneche burnt you.
God, bloody noxious hig.
Thoughts, please, John?
Yeah, look, I'll definitely be starting with more mid-prices this year. I'd be forced to. And your fallen premiums comment is pretty pertinent. I mean, someone like Pavlich in the forward line, I think, is a good example of a player who, whilst he might be getting long in the tooth, I mean, I'll certainly be backing him at this point. 420 or 430, I think he is pretty much too low to ignore. He's not quite the same situation as Cloak, but he's the sort of player I think you've got to start with. In terms of the rookies, someone like Jack Martin, you know, I think I made the comment somewhere that he might be the first guy you downgrade simply because he's coming off that higher base. You get him up to 350 quickly if he plays well and then push him back down to one of the really low-priced rookies who maybe debuts in the second or third round. You know, it might be a case of having to try and cycle your rookies through a bit quicker to generate cash early in the piece if you want to play aggressively.
You know, I hope he's put on some bulk because, you know, this talk about him being as good as Jager, I refuse to believe that. But like you say, that could be a very good strategy. Grab him, wait for a small price rise from him, then downgrade. That's bloody genius.
One little bit of insight to the community, John. Is there one mid-pricer, your Dale Thomas varieties, that you will be looking at?
I've got to say there are very few players in that 300,000 price range, 3 to 4, that I'm particularly interested in just because with this year's price range, it makes them pretty hard to fit in. The one guy that I have been putting in and out of my side is Brendan Ellis. I've got a bit of bias there being a Tigers fan.
Oh,
but
welcome.
If you can fit him in, you know, maybe if you really don't go with Jack Martin and you can somehow get the extra coin, I reckon he's a good option in the mids, particularly with what I was referring to before, that if he plays well early, he might be your avenue to an Ablett or a Griffin or something like that, you know, a few rounds before everyone else is able to bring him in. So that's sort of the thinking I've got around how to trade this year in the early part of the season.
I tell you, I've got me on Andrew Gaff.
Silence! You say me this. You barrack for the Tiger, Mr. John.
I sure do, Crouchy. Oh. All the way, mate.
You say me this. You like Brendan Ellis, Mr. John?
You have a beer, Dale?
I think he's in for a big one, mate. I reckon he's going
to... Oh, you come, my Jim. We fight. We drink bloody rum can. We wrestle.
Crouchy, what are you doing with your bloody hand?
We watch bloody...
Get it out of here.
Pornographic movie.
Now,
welcome.
Hell.
You Tiger Man.
Righto. Bloody hell. You'd think you'd just seen Cindy Crawford whilst in the bloody joint.
He's bloody good man. He's bloody good man. Jock have special box of magazine in Bangalore. I come in after we look.
Crouching, come on, mate. They're just National Geographic magazines, mate. That's all.
Okay. This good. You man of Tiger. You like Brendan. And you also say in your article, you like trade us off. You trade early. You say me this.
Definitely, I think you've got to get in early, trade hard through the first few rounds so you can get the team that you really want before that first price rise. But I think what that also means is you can't start your side, or you shouldn't start your side with, you know, 12 risky picks. So pick some risky players, but know that you've only got so many that if all goes bad, you can trade them out and set your team back up. So if you look at my side from last year, it's nothing special. So I think a lot of it comes down to how you set it up in the first few weeks.
Like last year, I mean, many people are surprised to see that it's not the absolute perfect team that wins the caper. You went in with players like Carnache, as bloody he goes, he's Carnesis. He was a failure, wasn't he, mate?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the next part. You know, if you think you've made a mistake, just change him. I mean, I got rid of him after that first round, which maybe there's a bit of luck there in terms of picking that he wasn't going to be the right one. But it was pretty clear that Josh Kennedy needed to be in your side even after that first week. So I think there's no shame in changing it up nice and quick. But like I said, you want to make sure that you don't have to try and fix 8 spot fires that first week. So don't go too crazy in your initial side. Keep a few safe selections and you should be fine.
Outstanding point for consideration. Conservatism early, followed by frenetic corrective trades. Your thoughts re Buddy Franklin, John?
I haven't put a team together yet that he hasn't been in. I think, again, just the price he's at amongst the higher-priced rookies, he's hard to ignore. I think all the three of the Sydney guys around that price range are pretty interesting, Tom Mitchell and Luke Parker as well. So, again, I like the fact that they have that first game against GWS. You'd think one or two of them are going to pump out a big score, which helps nice and early in the season and gets the confidence rolling for everyone, really. So I'll certainly be looking at probably two out of those three.
Outstanding. And before we let you get back to your research, the rucks this year, they present us with quite a conundrum. Very few ruck swingers, fickle premium rucks. Last year, you went in with a one premium and started Blivchas on the field. Your thoughts about any sort of rucking strategies this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be crucial whether Nick Mack proves his fitness before the season will probably define a lot of people's lines. I do like the idea of Dixon in the forward line, particularly early when the Gold Coast rucks are still injured. I think that's when he'll score at his best. But I don't think I'll be able to play him as one of the first four if my strategy around spending a lot less in the defense carries through the season. I might even look to push Dixon to the fifth forward, which would be, you know, the move that you guys were talking about a bit, just to try and go heavy there, allowing him to swing into the rucks. But at this stage, it is hard fitting him in that position. So I probably will end up playing one premium and maybe even Sandlins if he comes up. But I also don't think that the strategy of having three rucks, three mid prices is all that bad, especially if you can get the emergency loophole working for you. So I haven't ruled that out as well.
And like you say, if you can quickly correct one of those trades, all the better. With Dixon, many of us look back to last year when, up until round 6, some of us forget he was averaging 114 Supercage points. So that's what the kid can do.
And he's playing in that forward ruck slot, but I think that his average is around about that 100 range.
Hamish McIntosh, I know people have different thoughts about Big Hame at Geelong. 300 grand, a price that's neither here nor there. He's played 8 games in the past 3 bloody seasons. I'm still not one of the people considering him. I know many are.
He's a tough one. If he's fit, he's going to be hard to ignore again, because this year with the pricing the way that it is, it's, you know, if you've got a guy that's averaging 80 or 90, or maybe even just 80 in the rucks there, you need to figure out ways to generate cash. And if you do go in with that 3 mid-price strategy, then he's the sort of bloke you're going to be forced to take. First instinct probably says to be wary, but you know, you've got to back these blokes if they're fit. You can't ignore them at that price. So I'm not too scared about going in with guys that have a bit of injury concerns, as long as they've got some runs on the board.
Yes.
And your final golden team selection wisdom: keep your eye out for your move. Care to elaborate a little on that, John?
It's a bit vague, isn't it, Higo? I think I'm just sort of saying that at one point or another, if you really are in it to win it, you're going to have to do something which other people aren't, and that can take a bit of conviction. I'm not saying it has to be a selection in the first round or something that people immediately spot, but at one point or another, you're going to have to set yourself out from the pack, and it probably is going to involve backing your own instincts.
And that's something I drummed into you, John, at a very young age. And you mentioned it before. It's something not many people are looking out for. But if you back your judgment, if you've done the research, if you see a premium who's fallen to a point, no one's talking about him, that could be a bloody Wooshka move. That is the difference between someone who will reach their top four in their grand final someone who will win their grand final, someone who will be ranked in the top 1,000 in the Supercoach and AFL fantasy rankings?
Definitely. I think everyone's got to back themselves in, and if you do it well, you're probably going to come out on top.
I'm bloody proud of you, John. Takes me back to that time when we had the Fantasy Cadets Day down at the Bond Beach Park, and the ice cream van pulled in. I saw 25 kids bolt helter-skelter, standing in a queue, 35-degree day. Then I saw you, mate. You walked over the street to the milk bar where there was no little bastards getting ice cream. You got what you wanted, and you came out on bloody top. And I see you've taken that into your fantasy footy career, mate, and you'd be commended for it.
That was a good day, Jock.
Righto, we have been talking here with John Bruin. He did win Supercoach 2013. He is one of the community's favourite sons. Now, we love the game that the Herald Sun puts out, John. Must say, as you say in your article, I was very surprised you didn't get that big novelty cheque for your $50,000. How'd you feel about that, mate?
Oh, it's pretty flat, Jock. I think everyone knows that they're in the game not for the 50K or for the bragging rights, but for that novelty cheque to stick on the wall. So when Shane Crawford or Al Patton or Jay Clark, those boys weren't at the door presenting it, I was a little flat, but, you know, the numbers written on the small version sort of, I suppose, ease the pain.
I wanted to see you on the bloody Sunrise program with, you know, John Deeks, who bobs up in that bloody Good Friday appeal,
Jock,
saying, here he is, bloody Koshy trying to give him a Port Adelaide bloody scarf, none of that.
I think this story is worthy of Today Tonight. This
Sam Armitage on the
pole. This is wrong, Jock.
It is.
There will be many people very interested in the blatant refusal of the supposed novelty check.
We can't get stuck in too much, I suppose, because we've got Jay Clark, who could be on the podcast next weekend. Jay Clark of the Supercoach Show, of the Herald Sun. He is neck deep in the caper, and he is on the elite. He'll be on next week. Maybe we can pass a message on there for you, John.
He have a beautiful shaped skull. I look forward to meet him.
Righto, John, thank you very much for your time, mate. I know you're busy studying. We'll let you go, mate. Best of luck for 2014. Warms me heart that you're not only one of the best fantasy footballers we've raised, but you're a hell of a nice bloke, mate, and we love having you as one of our favourite sons.
I could talk to you guys. Always a pleasure. I'll try and be around the site as the season goes on.
John, will you be contesting in the Jock Reynolds Community Premier League this year, mate?
Yeah, definitely, boys. Save a spot for me. I'll be there. And I look forward to getting down and having a few cans of crouching down in his gym.
Ah, welcome.
We'll leave you now, mate. You get back in and do your studies.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Righto, well, this is a bloody gigantic week of fantasy footy. AFL Fantasy's opening up. The Real DT will open up this week, and so will our favourite show, the Supercoach Show. Get yourself ready. Start to get some leagues organised. The Jock Reynolds Fantasy Footy Premier League, of course. Emails will be going out this week. So if you're in one of those divisions last year, you will get that email this week. Just make sure I've got your most updated email address. Shoot me an email, jockreynolds8@gmail.com. If you want to have a crack, just hold on. It's coming. I know we're all very excited. I will put up a crap load of details on the website about how you can join the groups to qualify next year for the Jock Reynolds AFL Divisional Premier League system. Here you go, Crouching. Got to fix this bloody lawnmower. Thanks for coming over, boys. I'll see you during the week.
Pleasure, Jock.
See you, community. We bloody love you. Have a good week.